In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome to a special Wait What episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine here with
Casey Balsham. Thank you so much. At Case Face B on Instagram.
Danny
fucking
Murphy.
Fucking follow me.
I love how we're leading with this
guys,
now.
Fucking follow Casey.
Fucking
and then
follow me.
Once you get to her page, find me at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K. I'm quirky.
And
I'm
we're
silly.
Joined by, we have two special guests this episode.
So many special guests.
Later on, we're actually going to interview the director of the documentary we're talking about. Eva Orner, she directed Bikram Yogi Guru Predator. And our first special guest is our producer, Sean Kilby.
Hey, guys.
He was literally setting up the mics and we were like, do you want to? And he had lots of thoughts on the subject today.
He was like, did you guys plan anything? We're like, what?
What? People plan.
He's like, I have some thoughts.
Well, we're talking about a documentary today that I actually watched.
Yay. I know. I watched it this weekend too. Well, obviously,
usually watch all the documentaries people watch, but I'm always 2 weeks behind.
That's
when I watched the opening weekend.
Yeah, this one is timely.
More people watch this than Charlie's Angels reboot. Sorry, Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, God.
I know, that poor bitch.
You know what? You say that, but Netflix has such a crazy reach that when this movie ended, and we'll get there, but when this movie ended, I really thought, you know what? If this wasn't on Netflix, no one would hear about
this.
No. It's true.
It really is the most important.
I had never heard about
Sundance too. $17 to go see a Bikram yoga documentary with my popcorn.
I like that you call them Bikram.
I'm from Jersey. It's out.
That's would like hate Bikram if we call them Bikram.
I know. That's why I got to do it. That's why I'm doing it. Guys, this is my, you can start a movement wherever you are.
Right. We shouldn't even call him by his name. Just call him Bikram yoga.
That's safe for Army Hammer. I'm Army Hammering this bitch.
Bikram yoga and Army Hammer.
I've snapped. We were just talking about, like, I'm Selena Gomez right now. I'm not doing
oh
well.
God. Oh, his name is Army, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. What are you thinking about?
Well, I thought you were mispronounced.
No, because Call Me By Your Name, Army Hammer, there's a peach.
Danny has
Google
like a pun for everything.
Yes, he does.
A pun for every nun. God
and
bless.
And he calls it Bikram. What did you just call it?
Bikram Stocks.
You called
it would have been
Bikram.
A much different documentary.
Birkenstocks.
And it was just this nice woman like, do yoga in Maine. Like that would have been.
No, I bet the inventors of Birkenstocks are like these evil people. I don't know why. Just irony factor.
I'm wondering how Birkenstocks had this huge comeback in the last couple of years. Like nobody's, I didn't
LGBTQ
see them since
rights.
I didn't see them since the '90s. And all of a sudden they were like, but they're silver now. And everyone was like, gotta have them.
And you're like, okay, we'll forget that they're hideous.
I know.
But
I
almost hardcore invested. Became such a thing.
It totally
that's
did.
You
want to
dress like your grandma and your grandpa.
Like New Balance got real popular.
Oh, I have the Filas. Who can I can't even say anything.
But the Filas aren't like known for. The Filas are more like.
Yeah, but they're
those
are hideous.
Those like a statement to themselves.
Urban Outfitters being ugly. Like, remember your childhood?
Well, that's my favorite when you go to Urban Outfitters and you just see like the 12-year-olds looking at records and they don't know what they are, but they're like, I like Maggie Rogers, so I'm going to buy this. And I'm like, you don't just hang that up. Like, people actually listen to music through
I know. I feel like every time I go to get rid of something out of the closet, I just think about how upset I am that I don't have any of my clothes from sixth grade that everybody's wearing now.
I'm like, oh,
and
damn,
like,
I should have
kept
it
under the bed for a bit.
Seriously, I'm going to now just like be a total hoarder who never gets rid of anything.
Like, if you told me chokers were going to make a comeback,
I would have saved all mine.
I would have, I would have.
And
been
I had
like,
I don't all like those, though. Like, did you ever take that blue thing out of the top of the Coke bottle and then you, like, would make a bracelet out of it? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, but I want to now.
I had, like, 40 of those.
Wait, what was like a homemade slap bracelet?
Yeah, kind of. Like, you would pop. There's, like, that blue circle thing that's on the inside of the cap. So I don't know if you can
like
do this anymore.
I actually know what
But you can pop. Sometimes you can pop them out and then you'd cut a hole in it and then stretch it out.
Okay. Look at you.
The original DIY. One of my over here.
Guys, I was not the only person to do this. I swear. Yeah. You'll have to start my word for it.
Don't
you? Yeah. Hey, it's a lot more affordable. Only $2.99.
Yes. Oh, and you got a Diet Coke with it. I mean, yeah, that's my dream.
It's a good deal.
There you go. Well, yeah. Well, yeah, we are talking about Bikram, a.k.a. Brigham. Yeah. No, you called it Brickham.
Brickham.
We're talking about the yoga documentary that is called Predator.
It's called Bikram.
Stretcher Predator.
Yogi Predator something.
Yeah.
So us telling you that he's a rapist is not
a spoiler.
We're not
spoiled.
Yes.
Yes. And a lot of you did guess it when we put it up on the thing. Yes. A lot of you guessed it. Again, because it is
I was not exactly coy about it. Eye looking emoji.
Yeah, we like put it right on there.
About watching it. Yeah, no, there's no surprise. Yeah.
So what did we think about, first off, has anybody done Bikram here before?
I have.
Yeah, I've done, okay. Well, I've done Y7, which I feel like is a crazy bastardization of Bikram yoga.
Which I kind of love because I do Y7 now and it's infrared yoga and like it's me like moving the pinky to Rihanna. Yeah, so okay. I feel like it's another fuck you to him.
I've never even done regular yoga because I am deeply of the belief that it's all one big scam. And then I watched the documentary that confirmed that.
Yeah.
Did you see what they do?
It's like a sex cult mixed with a pyramid scheme.
It really is.
It did my favorite
me, it did make me realize now, like when I'm going to go to yoga, I'm like, oh, this is like sexual-ish. I'm like, it's totally weird. Yeah.
Of course I did Bikram because it was a cult and I was in it.
You're selling wine in between birthday classes.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was, and working on my landmark classes.
Yeah.
Can I tell you though, I was just looking at, because I was doing the 2009-2019 challenge thing. I was looking at my pictures from when I lived in Hawaii and I was doing Bikram. I have never looked fucking better. If there was anything, I know I'm not supposed to like this documentary, but God damn, I need to get back into fucking hot yoga.
They were literally Casey and Danny.
I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I was just like, God, I got to get my ass back into the studio.
Like, all right, let's do a hot yoga class.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys. Before we get into Bikram and all the horrible, atrocious things that he did here.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bad guy.
What do you guys think about the hot part? Like, why is it got to be hot?
Your body's not hot. I feel like regular yoga is like kind of bullshit in the sense of like it's not that great of a workout. Yeah, you don't really break a sweat. I guess it could be good for strength training depending on the poses.
You
are like,
breaking a sweat because there's not a guy up there on a pedestal yelling at you, a pussy.
Well, right? Most, yeah. My skin has never felt better after doing a hot yoga class. It really sweats out everything that you just feel amazing.
Okay. There's like back and forth things. People say like obviously the heat, your body's a little bit stretchier so you can kind of go deeper into the poses. Mm-hmm. But then also people have debunked that. So I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's nonsense.
I think you're sweating so you feel like you're getting more of a workout.
But that's true. Now I also
Bikram's intense.
There's places in the city where you can go just get a fits.
Oh, I love that. Shape House or
wherever.
There's
a place called Russian Turkish Baths that I've been to. It's just a bunch of saunas. I know people love this stuff.
People love that for a lot of reasons.
For a lot, yeah, okay. Yeah. There's some rubbing and tugging there too. But the thing is, people walk out and they say they feel great and they think it's because they got a good sweat. But I have a theory about this and all forms of workout that are pure suffering is that your body loves to reward you for the sense of relief. So if you are miserable for long enough, you actually feel great enough if you get the fuck out. That's just like a way to your brain works. So when you go to Bikram yoga,
I'm the change.
So miserable that when you walk out and into the cool air and you've done like this exercise, you actually, your brain releases endorphins that reward you for getting out of there. And then you think, man, it makes me feel
like
so
fight
good.
Or flight.
I mean, that shit did sound miserable because they said it was 90 minutes and I was like, bro, I will never go to a 90 minute workout class.
You pause in between. It's not like the full me trying to sell you guys all in.
I know. What are you doing?
Your hands are up. You're in a downward dog.
Listen. I'm like, let me plead my case. God damn it. No, but it's different because you're not doing a constant flow. You literally hold a position for a minute, then you break, then you hold it again for 30 seconds. So you do this whole thing. So you get actually these little breaks, and they do a standing series and a floor series. I will tell you though,
Y7 is not like that.
No,
this is very very particular.
So it's all hot yoga. Not Bikram yoga.
Right. Not all hot yoga. Bikram is the thing. That's why he was saying, if you want to do a Bikram thing, you have to get taught under me because he was trying to monetize
it. He had all the celebrities on his back because it was a certain amount
of poses. But I will tell you, there are like some of them, they will say there's certain ones where like this is for your, like I remember there's one where you're on the floor and you hold your knees up and you go and it's for your colon. promise you that my poops were never more solid than when I was doing Bikram yoga. I'm just saying, like, the these things.
Probably because you were drinking so much water because you were sweating so much. Right.
I mean, this is also when I lived in Maui, so I was also drinking so much Jaeger. So who knows what was what came
chicken
first,
the
Jaeger or the Bikram or the rape? I don't know.
Oh my God.
Just kidding. Everybody knows this is a joke. Don't DM me, please.
Wait, the one thing is so weird about yoga culture, though, is how like open and chill they are with everything. Because at Y7,
yeah.
And this is either like a sponsor or
is
like Y7 a shit against
them. Yoga?
It's a hot infrared
like
yoga
where it's like yoga,
hip hop,
right?
Or it's a complete black room with just candles.
But it's like the most cultural appropriation you can fit into 50
it's
minutes.
Like, it's a white girl named Tracy saying, "Dance to Meek Mill." And I'm like, is this good?
Yeah, literally.
I'm like sitting there like, am I hurting the world? Like, what am I doing now?
I know, like, why do I have to be listening to Mad City and Downward Dog? It seems like at odds with each other.
Like, I left Equinox for political reasons to join Y7, which I feel like I have to leave soon for that. So I might just get on my 600-pound life. But I was changing there yesterday, and they only have two changing rooms that are kind of like Urban Outfitters tiny stalls. So I was like, oh, I can't do this. And everyone was like shirtless, looking so fit. And I'm like, I just was in a towel. I'm like, I hate this so much. Like, I went in a corner that no one can see and start to change. And while I was just like putting on my underwear with a towel over me, I just heard Danny. And it was my it was my boss's boss.
Boy.
And I was just like,
locker room confession.
Why,
I know. It was just locker room talk. I know.
They
That's why
not,
I was like, you shouldn't have acknowledged me.
Yeah,
but
no.
Hot yoga is, you do feel like you want to go and immediately get it off of you.
Yeah.
You
that's a, yeah.
Yeah, so I could see why
like,
it would
feel
be
like
hard
you accomplish
not to leave.
Something,
you
I
really
suppose.
Do, that, yes. Especially you, after 90 yeah. minutes. That's too why, much. Like, I tried to do it when I first moved here, and I didn't understand how trains worked and how far away. So I found, because most yoga places, you know, do like a 30 month for free or whatever, or $30.
30 months.
You and your
boss. Sorry,
I pay $200 a month. Yeah,
I just have to recruit everybody in this office. No, they do $30 for the first month or whatever.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I like found one. I was like, oh, it doesn't look so far from where I live. I think I was living in Hell's Kitchen, and this was on the Lower East Side. Mm. And it's like, you know, two trains, then the 90 minutes. It was like a 3-hour excursion. I think I went twice and was like, yeah, sorry, that's $30. I could might as well just wipe my ass with.
I was thinking about so
solid far. Poops.
So Bikram, he tried, and we found this out in the documentary that he tried to. I don't know if he's really trying to get. Is it a copyright or a patent?
A patent.
Yeah. So
which
he was.
You can't. Do we know you can't patent those sort of things, not to mention he stole these things, but he really reminded me of one of these people who walks into the Shark Tank and Mark Cuban is like, what do you have that's proprietary, what do you have why can't I just go out and pump a bunch of heat into a room and do yoga? And Bikram
well you can and then you play hip hop and then you call it Y7. Sorry, Y7. I'm not over this,
and now me and Sarah go
yeah,
at least anyone could do this. The reason this guy was successful is because he was such a good self-promoter and he tied his name to it.
And I think it was a thing too where it's like such a, it became a trend where it started with all these celebrities starting to do it. That's why I was shocked. I was like,
well, the
Barbara Streisand,
like
Frank Sinatra, Nixon.
Yeah.
Lie number one was
also,
Elvis
me,
was my first
client.
I was
kind of
never
like, wait, how are all these people alive at the same time? Can this actually be true? I have to go and Google
it.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Elvis is not a good fitness spokesperson.
Neither is
you
Nixon.
Forgot, he potentially died on the toilet with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I know.
I never knew about the sandwich.
Rotation though.
He actually
did.
He was very
and
cool.
That was Bikram.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was that he said, if you want to open up this Bikram studio, which all of a sudden was like, you know, sweeping the nation. It was like people wanted at this Bikram. He like would make them do the teacher training with him, and then it was $10,000. So this guy was like making.
How many people are in that room, guys?
There was so many people. Like, you watched 100, I think. Tons of people. Like,
imagine
everybody wanted at this room.
But,
oh, they said, you hear the documentary, you're like, you walk in, it fucking stinks.
People are peeing in water bottles.
Yeah, so this guy was really like, he did have like a smart mind to be like, let me make it seem like something that they all need and that they all want. You know, and he
that's
only
the,
wore
that to me struck me as
that's
the pyramid
what was the
scheme element
thing.
Of it.
Yeah,
that's
a
million cool $1 million for the 9 weeks.
Easy.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because
and
he also
the franchising fees too. You know, these people were giving him so much money
because you
to
have
use
to.
His
you
name.
Couldn't open it unless you did this training, and then you had to open it under this name and all that stuff. So of course he was making money. And they said that he was like kind of setting himself up to be, you know, their god, like this. There was this guru.
Oh, he was really
so
lifted
he was,
up.
I got
he
so
was
many
really,
like Rajneesh vibes because he had like
so
the
many.
Rolexes, the luxury cars. I'm like, what is with these people starting
how
cults and buying
cars
Rolexes?
Does he need, Sarah?
I know. Come on, you're only driving one at most.
The state of California owns them, right?
That was so strange.
Yeah,
that
was weird. So they're like idolizing him and all that stuff. That's what was like kind of crazy. I don't know. This was like the craziest part of the doc for me. It was that the women, when they were talking about being assaulted by him, that they all were like, yeah, he raped me, and then I, like, you know, said goodnight.
And
yeah,
kissed him on the forehead.
Kissed him on the forehead. You're like, ah. It, like, that's like, so, that's like brainwash. That is fucking brainwashing, like, cult shit. Yeah. Like, that is not okay. Because these women, like, he really did prey on people that were, like, essentially, like, worshiping him.
And then when a lot of, like, they finally spoke out with his line, too, when he was like, I don't need to abuse or force a woman to have sex with me. There's a million of them that will line up ready to sleep with me.
I was like, first of all, duffel. Oh, yeah. Second of all,
you have 8 bald spots. I don't know how.
Also, can we talk about the fact that they glazed over it in the documentary, but when he's on that show and he's clearly like already like an old man, yeah, and they're like, and this is your wife, and how old is she? And he's like, she's 20.
Yeah, he looked to be at least like 40 at the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's kind of creepy.
They're on the stage with him when they came out. Maybe that's not the right one. When he comes out shirtless, maybe that was a different footage. Yeah. He comes out and he like flexes his pecs.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and Andy Griffith is up there on the stage.
And they're like, Andy.
Because I remember the duck, like when they were all just so like doing weird. The little things, yes, in the outfits. Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So there was a part early in the documentary where, yeah, he shares what he claims is his origin story.
Yeah.
Like the time how he walked into the studio for the first time, and then he became a 3-time world champion, and then he became a bodybuilder.
And then, yeah, he cracked his leg.
And he was supposed to go to the Olympics and conveniently broke his leg like a week before the Olympics.
Right. That's happened to all of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he decided to go back to yoga. That was that was super early. I was like, this guy is, all he does is lie.
Talking out of his ass. Yeah.
And he was like, we were doing 10, 12 hour days of yoga. And he's like, and then that's why I needed to come to America and fix people's legs and knees. What? You're like, nobody's that good.
Yeah, because he said he barely sleeps.
Like, Americans,
yeah,
he sleeps 30 hours and stupid.
A month. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think
30 hours a month. I was like, no, dude.
That's a day for me.
And the newscaster was like, wow, that's amazing. I was like, bitch, are you really this dumb? 30 hours a month of sleep, you'd actually be dead.
Yeah.
Your brain would be dead.
And he's like, nobody is, what did he call himself? He's like, nobody is, did he call himself spiritual?
And that's why he's a human being alive.
Or the most pure. No, he called himself pure, which is also gross. So obviously, if you watch the documentary, you know that this guy, people go buy into it, and then he would call young women into his room. He literally did an early version of Netflix and Chill, except for it was Bollywood film and massage.
Well, by the way, did you notice also in the documentary they kept showing you Bollywood films?
Yeah, they were really bringing us into the room.
I don't think we need this right now.
No. Don't ruin Bollywood. Don't bring them into it.
I'm like, I don't need. Don't put Barbara Streisand in this documentary. Yes, thank you. I'm like, she'll sue.
she doesn't even want you to know where she lives.
Yeah, the Streisand effect. That's why it's so big now, the documentary.
So it all started with, I think the first one to come out was this woman named Sarah Bond, right? Sarah Bond.
Something like
Sarah
that.
Bond. Okay.
Who, first of all, has aged backwards.
She's gorgeous. She does look.
I'm very confused. She literally looks my age, but she must have been like,
room.
Right?
I don't want to say
she doesn't
it, but
do
like,
it anymore, though.
No, well, but it's from the inside.
And also, I don't know. That's just crazy. And because she was also told, like a lot of people were, you can't, if you go forward with this, what's going to happen? Like, you can't teach Brookman. Like, you'll be like disowned by the community. And But then I really like the part, like I was like, ooh, it got me when she was like her daughter, because she had a daughter with her husband and was like, mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a yoga teacher like you. And she's like, I can't let my daughter potentially be raped.
Yeah.
Also, can't you just teach another kind of yoga? I don't know. The thing is, I don't know anything about yoga. I actually thought Bikram yoga was like super old. I didn't even know the guy who founded it was still alive. Like I knew nothing, but I'm just like, neither. Can't you just go into any bullshit New York bougie studio and be like, I can teach yoga. Like, I don't know how any of this works.
I think it's because it's literally 26 specific poses. Because at first when I took it, I remember moving back from Hawaii to California. I went to one. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do it here. And it was the same thing. I also didn't realize that hot yoga and Bikram are different and that Bikram is only the 26. Poses.
But isn't that kind of boring?
The other ones.
Yeah, right.
But who cares?
Right? But you do like, know what's coming next, which is nice.
Yeah.
And like I said, you do get these breaks, and half the series is on the floor. I literally know.
Shavasana, love it. I'm so good at that.
Yeah. I'm good at that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big Shavasana at the end.
Love it.
But I think that's why you wouldn't be able to do, I mean, you probably would. I imagine most of them probably practice regularly, but it is very, it's only, it's 26 very specific poses with very specific like body postures and things, and they all affect a different part of your innards.
It's interesting. And like he one was, like, of them is your mental health.
Your innards.
Your solid innards. Poops?
There's like other ones that are for, solid poops. There's one for your colon. Yeah. There's other ones that are for like arthritis, like there's arthritic grips, and that's why you have to like do certain
like
things.
A load of bullshit.
Yeah. I know, this is so bad.
You're eating up his bullshit.
If you have arthritis, go to a doctor. Don't go to a hot yoga class.
Or like, not hot yoga,
Casey,
but like also
it's either
other
my
stuff.
Way or
Bikram.
No,
it's the highway.
That was like,
oh,
these
the
are things
highway.
That
oh, yeah,
they had all these things that
so weird. What was the other one? It was like really weird.
It was all so creepy.
He's like, I also like when he kept being like, "You don't pay. That's why you pay me. I don't pay to be here. You pay
I love
me.
When he'd be like, "Oh, you're paying me to kill yourself." I'm like, "That's dark and surprisingly like, accurate."
He called people the wall, fat American. Yeah,
fat fuckers.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Look at this bitch."
Oh God, that
what
too.
What a psycho.
And I'm like, isn't that the opposite of yoga? Because I'm in a yoga class, and she's just like, "You're so brave, and I'm proud of you for existing." I'm like, "That's what I need. Yeah, that's what I'm paying for." Yeah.
If I had some like tiny man yelling at me, I'd be like, bitch, what the fuck?
And I'd be like, why are you wearing a Speedo?
Yeah. There are some parts of the hot yoga in Bikram, even when you take them on the out, like I think there are still some trickles because I remember taking some in certain classes and people were like, if you leave, you'll disrupt everybody else. So like, even if you feel like you're going to throw up, like don't leave the room. Like you can sit down or whatever, but it's like.
They're big on that.
I think that that's part of the, I think that might be the only like. Cult-like thing that has like trickled into it because they're like you're gonna ruin everybody else's focus. It's like, well, I'm sorry if I'm gonna fucking puke everywhere.
That'll ruin it more.
The smell of that in a hot room, especially because a lot of these hot rooms are also carpeted. I think it's a newer thing
I've never been to one carpeted. This is how you find cults, Casey. This is why if I walked into a hot room with a carpet, I would shut it down. Besides this room,
you know who used to take the classes with me? You know who? Wayne Dyer. He's like he was like the super motivational speaker. He was living in Maui and taking classes.
Oh, that sounds so like
did
a
he
Tony
then
Robbins
start a class?
He's dead now, but yeah, but he was he has like all these different books. Yeah, so
interesting.
I mean, they're all tied in, man.
Well, can we talk about gurus in general?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because the title of the documentary is Bikram, Yogi Guru Predator.
Okay,
right?
We were close.
Okay, we were real close. Yeah. So Yogi, I'm cool with. If you're a Yogi, anybody can be a Yogi.
Yeah,
okay?
Casey's probably a Yogi.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't touch my toes, but I'll take it.
And as proven by the Me Too era, anybody can be a predator. But not just anybody can call themselves a guru. And I got to tell you guys, I am skeptical of any person who is called a guru in the first place. Mm. My first thought is, who are you trying to play? And what type of girls are you trying to sleep with?
But here's the thing.
I really think there's no such thing as a guru. Like, I don't think Bikram came up with this shit. I think he learned this from whoever his guru was.
Yeah,
that guy was a con artist too.
I mean, maybe.
I think if you tell somebody who you are long enough, people just start to believe it.
Yeah.
Like if I just started telling you guys, like I am the greatest anti-cult person you've ever, and I just like
I don't know about that.
Of course this is bullshit. But if I just made this platform for myself and continuously told you guys who I was, it's just like that's. I mean, I think that's how these people get into power. They just say, I am this. And people are like, okay.
Well, it's like Gwyneth Paltrow-ish, where it's like she's a lifestyle guru, but you're like, for a while, you're like,
for what lifestyle?
The girl from Country Strong. Yeah. And now it's been 10 years. I'm like, I'll look at her holiday guide. I don't care. Like, sure, she's pretty a guru.
Yeah, I need a $400 napkin
cute.
Weight.
You know what I mean? I'm like,
well, she's duping us too, though. That's a great example.
Right?
Yeah, I really think so.
She doesn't know about eggs in a vagina.
The Lord's work.
Like, what the fuck is that?
She's like stealing she's from the rich to give to random companies, and that's almost the Lord's work. Like
right,
you know.
Well,
like,
also,
she's hurting with people with like too much money to get them to buy useless
and
shit.
Also
which I kind of
like they're like
yeah,
tax
kind
evasion
of admire
like,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I got no problem with Bikram stealing Jason Bateman's money,
right?
In giant chunks, or whoever, all the other celebrities that are coming to him.
Oh yeah,
but I do actually feel bad for all the women featured in this. But
also,
a lot of the people probably who went to these classes and spent their $10,000, they don't open up a studio.
No,
they just get certified to teach. Yeah,
just to teach yoga. Like, yoga. It's hard to make a great living.
Right. How long does it take to recoup that initial investment?
It's gotta be huge. You have to sell so many essential oils.
Don't bring them into this. I don't have time to discuss multi-level benefits.
It's like $179 a month sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. My friend was teaching mine. That's why I got it for free. Otherwise,
wait, that's how much you get? No,
how much you pay.
You pay. It's like $179.
It's a monthly membership.
Yeah, but you probably have to
Los
pay
Angeles.
Out your studio, I'd imagine. Like if you're a teacher.
Totally. But
instructors are not making an insane amount of money, guys.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I really don't think so.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all... And there's that one girl also that said she never got hers back after he kicked her out because he was like, there was like an African American woman and she got kicked out.
Oh, yeah, that was the worst.
And never got her
I was going to say, I feel like I wanted more information about that because I wasn't
that
insane.
Was kind of, that was a very small, that was a good small chunk. And like, I get it, but like, what else was this? Like, he was also racist on top of everything.
Yeah.
Like, well, that was
I mean,
a little
wild. Come on. It's like, you know, these bad qualities probably go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, for people who don't know what actually is, who aren't planning on watching the documentary,
You're doing the God's work listening to this podcast.
So, I do want you guys to tell them what happened to Sarah and Alyssa and some of the other people who came forward eventually.
Yeah. So, essentially, these women came forward. Some of them were just, he tried to force himself. Like, he would have them come over, have them massage them, and then they'd give him a massage, which I guess was very regular. Like, they, people would do it in class.
In the class,
like, they would massage his feet, they would massage his hands.
And that's the norm. That's like the grooming thing to me. It's like he's normalizing the touch.
Yeah, gross. Absolutely. And then they would come to his apartment, and he would ask them to like massage his dick and then try to kiss him and something like that.
One girl, Mandeep, for example, says like he proposed her and she fled.
She was like, I am not going to do that.
Like, another woman says that when his wife went to sleep that she was actually raped by him. There was a couple assaults and just one rape, or were there more than there was
in the documentary? Like there was two rapes, and then more that were just they said that there were more women that just didn't come forward because we find out down the line, because after Sarah was the first one to bring this to a
couple
national
other people
trial,
realized they weren't alone.
So they started to kind of expand this case a little bit more, even so much. But then also, all of them were getting a lot of pushback from the community.
Yeah.
Because I forget
her name. Those people were wild. There was like that first lady in the beginning who was basically just like, fuck all these bitches. And then there was that one gay guy who I was like, he knew
Jacob,
from the beginning. Sarah told him right away what he did. And he knew from the beginning and he was still like
that quote,
supporting him.
What are you going to do?
I was like, not support this man. Yeah. It's easy.
Not
like,
support
what do you mean?
Predator. It's,
there was a lot of, there was some people I think that were shocked and appalled. And there were a lot of people that just kind of were like, I don't know. We still
That guy was so disappointing. But that woman was like even worse. The misogyny
was like,
coming from inside the house.
I'll never denounce Bikram. She was,
I was like, all right, good luck with that.
She was pretty intense. And then subsequently, his lawyer that he had to defend him also sued him for wrongful termination and sexual harassment.
Yes.
So like this guy, it's like he, meanwhile, he's by the way, he's vehemently denied that he's like, this is a character assassination. People found out that they could probably make $1 million. So he actually is settled. There's been 4 out of the 6 cases have been settled. And I guess he's supposed to pay $6 million, but I don't think any of them have.
The lawyer won a $7 million judgment,
but
and then
he
has fled the country.
Yeah. So he's currently in Mexico and in Spain, still making money and teaching.
Yeah.
There was one, I know the documentary ended, there was one like, this year in Spain of him teaching this, and it was one of the biggest ones they've done. And that's why a lot of the people ended up settling, because there was just like, he's gone. They can't have anything happen to him.
They can't charge him because the women, you know, a shocker, people don't report it because it's scary and then people are mean to them.
Well, then he fled
was,
the country.
Well, and there was no DNA evidence and they didn't report it, and there's no fit, like, so they were like, we literally can't press charges against him. So I guess just, you know.
Yeah, and they were like, do I want to re-traumatize myself in a trial that
that's
he won't
so
even
sick.
Be there at? Do I have this payout and not?
It's so sick.
He left neither of them with any type of way to make peace or retribution.
And I kind of understand why you wouldn't, I wouldn't want to be in this documentary.
No.
It would define you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to sue him if I thought I wasn't going to get any money out of it, because I know it's not going to go anywhere. Because
that's the thing, you know, he's just going to be flying around on his jets, not being held accountable for any of his
been,
actions.
Well, he hasn't even been like charged by the LA
and that
like,
was the conclusion of
that because there was no.
It's only civil suits that are against him right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get why they would just take a settlement.
And do you think this would, like the documentary, like it would be possible for this to motivate LA too.
I think that's pretty explicitly what they're hoping for at the end. They're like, why hasn't this bitch brought charges?
Very Taylor Swift at the end of her music videos.
I mean, I'm joking a lot about how I did it and how I like to do it, but it is kind of, it has been this thing that I was actually reading this article that actually said that this documentary, as terrible as all these things have been exposed, it actually has like caused a resurgence in people wanting to do Bikram again.
No.
Yes.
I know.
Unintended consequences.
I know.
Well, I mean, did you find yourself watching this and like doing yoga in the living room the way that my girlfriend did?
I wasn't doing yoga.
She's like started, because she's been doing a lot of yoga lately, and she just like started doing yoga poses, because you can't not when you watch other people doing it. It's not like
I cannot do a lot of things.
You can't if you've had a bottle of wine.
Yeah, if I saw people jogging, I'm not going to get up and be like, you know what, guys, it's my day.
I'm good. But the thing is, like, yoga is not the enemy in this movie.
No.
I do think that some of the behaviors that take place in the movie, beyond just the assault, I think are a little bit troubling, kind of the cult-like element of it.
Yeah.
And I think also the hot-ass rooms, I can't get behind it. Also, I can't get behind, I love this. This is like, if there's no better example of, like, what a con artist will do to you. They'll never practice what they preach. Him sitting up there on his little mini weird couch with air conditioner onto his body.
What a dick.
And that also annoys me just in general about classes. Like when you go to like a cycling class or a boxing one and they just stand there like, guys, do this. I'm like, no, I need you to fucking do this with me.
I hate those people at the cycling class when they start you on a warm up at like four turns and then they like just keep going up and up the whole class. And I'm like, you're not even doing this. You're the instructor. How do you think I can fucking do this? I hate that.
Yeah, they're not nice people. No, anybody that teaches cycling specifically.
I kind of want to be a cyclist. I would do that though, because like you can just make a playlist and then tell people what to do. Like that sounds so fun.
Also, just being a DJ, you can do that.
You're right.
But I think, Sean, I think you have a good point. It's like the yoga is not the enemy, and then it becomes that thing
of
like
this specific subsect of yoga.
But it really, I mean, for people that it actually has made feel better, that it has changed their body, it has changed their mentality. Because I remember my friend that taught me in Maui. She said there are literally some poses that you feel like emotional about. Like there's this one that you take at the end. I've literally never been able to take it because at that point in the class,
is that the pooping one?
No. This is the camel. And you literally, you by the time you have to go on your knees, you get so lightheaded that every single time, and then you have to go backwards. And it's like every single time I'm too dizzy to do it. And she's like, I remember getting into that pose one time and I literally cried for a day. And then the next day when I got into it, I was like, there's like weird shit. So I think you're right. I think it's like the Michael Jackson thing. It's like, can I still like the movie knowing that he's a terrible person? Can I still do something that works for my body knowing he's a terrible person? And then that's the argument.
I think it's actually great for people to go do non-Bikram hot yoga. Because you're saying, by the way, the name has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Let's just take the thing that you know what he did? And to the one thing we can give him credit for is he came here with a skill set and he realized that there was an inefficiency in the market and he was going to go to Hollywood and make sure that he got celebrities involved and make a bunch of money off of something that was already in existence.
He started with celebrity number one, Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon. Everybody's
favorite. The original influencer, I would say.
Yeah.
He's not a crook.
In this case, I don't think that going and doing hot yoga is the same as listening to Michael Jackson's music.
Yeah.
However, I do think going to a Bikram studio that is still feeding money into his pockets is problematic. I would say I agree too.
But I think it's like an easy line to draw.
But if you're
if
still
you care.
Buying and listening to Michael Jackson's music, you're still putting money into his
pocket. That's exactly what
Sean's
saying.
Well, he's dead.
But I don't listen to Michael Jackson's music.
That's what I don't either.
I can't do it except for Thriller on Halloween because we don't have enough Halloween.
We got to do the Monster Mash. Come on.
What about Werewolf Bar Mitzvah, spooky, scary.
Werewolf in London,
it's good too.
So I have a question for you guys. Back,
boys becoming men. Wait, boys becoming men. Men becoming wolves.
Don't act like you don't fucking know about Werewolf Bar Mitzvah.
See, I think it's the same thing. I think Bikram and Michael Jackson is the same thing.
Oh, you think?
So you're saying it's okay to separate the two?
I think that I think that if something. I think that if you like the music, it's hard. You can know he's a bad person and still be like, well, I still like this music. It doesn't mean that I agree with what he did. And I think you can still think that, like, you can still do Bikram because it might work for your body and it might feel good for your health and still think that he's a terrible person. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's.
I think, you can still think those things. Like, those are two beliefs that obviously you can still hold at once, but I think they're contradictory and, like, your actions aren't supporting your words. Like, I'm not going to go listen to R. Kelly anymore. Ruined all the jams.
You will listen to Michael Jackson.
No, none of us will.
You don't listen to him at all.
I don't listen to him anyway, so it's not really doing me a huge disservice.
Every time a Michael Jackson song comes on, I start singing it, and then 10 seconds in, I go, oops.
You're like, oh, damn it.
And I stop and I turn it off. I'm done with Michael Jackson. I'm done with R. Kelly, and I'm done with Brickham. I can't.
I won't do it. It really does not affect my life.
But if I was going to that studio, I would just find the nearest hot yoga studio and give my money to somebody else.
That's,
and I think that's acceptable.
Better because 100%. You're paying the people for the knockoff, which is like so much better.
No, 100%. But I was just trying to make to your point where you said yoga's not at fault. It's like it's not. You know what I mean? Like,
you can do any other type of yoga.
Has a higher price.
But I'm saying, like, watching the Michael Jackson documentary on HBO and then being like, done with pop music. That don't throw all that baby out the bathwater.
I'm still going to listen to Kesha and Katy Perry, there but not.
Yeah.
Those are your alternatives to Michael Jackson.
Those are the next in line.
Those are the next
not
in line.
Not even Bruno Mars? Not even Janet?
Well, she's a little.
She's got the same last name.
She's quite literally too close to home, even though I do All For You is a bop. And I feel like it deserves a world. Yeah.
All For You is the bop. I don't know about that. Yeah. You're not going to get the same traction on. That is Hillary
Miss
Duff.
You much. Oh, Hillary, she's pretty good.
Hillary Duff is.
Oh, we're talking about Hillary Duff now.
I don't want her in this conversation.
If we're talking about things that deserve the world, like you're gonna.
Okay, Hillary Duff can slaughter 10 men, and I'll still follow her to the end of the earth.
Were you guys the one that posted like, "Thank God Hillary Duff never went crazy"? Yeah.
She really didn't.
Yeah. She didn't have her Disney moment like they all.
She knew how to play the goddamn game. She never went to this yoga studio. No, she was good.
They all crumbled.
She had like one Halloween where she and her husband went as like a Native American and a pilgrim, and that was pretty bad, but. I'm sorry. I just got to keep it like real out here.
100.
But,
we're talking werewolf bar
mitzvah. But that's way, way better than other people.
Danny, you did not disclose this information.
You didn't know that?
It was a big scandal lately.
I guess it would have been brought to my attention again.
She gave her husband a blowjob on a balcony after she got proposed to. And that, I think, is a woman of the people.
She gave him a blowjob. Well, I know
you never saw those photos?
It was like photograph. Can you show them to me?
I know that they got engaged. I remember seeing the rooftop one, but there's
four sets of the photo. So it's her like that, her taking a picture, her doing a phone call, and then... downward facing dog.
Wait, are you sure she wasn't just like sitting on the ground?
She was sitting on him.
I mean, go look at the pictures later.
It's like a Lisa Lam video. Don't look it up at work.
Wow, what a good fiance. I didn't know that that was the proper response to getting engaged. I guess I have to go back in time now to blow my boyfriend on the Eiffel Tower Memorial Garden.
And she's like, wait, that's where you got proposed to?
Yeah.
And she's like, I still listen to Michael Jackson giving head. And I'm like, I don't.
I got proposed to in Paris in a Holocaust Memorial Garden. So
what about that screamed romance?
You know, it was a very beautiful garden. It was along the river.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't like it was so kind of like one of those things.
Like, here's
where,
the pile of the burned shoes, and here's where.
No, it was a small, beautiful garden on the side of the river, and all of a sudden we got engaged, and then all of a sudden we were like, "There's a lot of names on these walls," you know, and then that's where it was kind of.
Oh, he didn't know.
Oh my God,
it was just, so funny. We were just like, "Oh, this is pretty," you know. It was at the end of a trip. We needed a place to do it. Apparently, he was going to do it the night before, but I was on my phone. You know how it goes.
Oh, you were at Cabaret, right? Yeah,
that's Amore. We were in Montmartre. And
you guys are singing Italian songs in France?
We don't know. We're American. We don't know how the fuck other countries work. We don't know anything. So I didn't know if I would have, you know, maybe if we weren't in a Holocaust Memorial Garden, I would have gone down on him, but probably not. So
I think for the best.
Yes, Hillary Duff, you are.
I mean, that marriage didn't work out for her, so it did work. Yeah.
Yeah. See? Don't blow your boyfriends if you want your marriages to work.
To work, right. That was the death now.
Yes,
that was
that's the
if you want that on a t-shirt, let us know.
Yeah. Hashtag damp couch, hashtag no blowjobs.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of things Americans don't understand, I didn't really, I don't understand how like legal proceedings work. I have a question for you guys about what happens.
I watched Law and Order, I got you on this.
Oh, good.
Our resident lawyer.
Yeah. You know the special victim stuff too? Because that it applies here.
It's only one worth watching.
So she knows it all. The idea that the DA in Los Angeles has decided not to press any charges on Bikram. Does that mean that the victims have not tried to press charges? What kind of political pressure is it going to take to bring him to justice?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the documentarians are like hoping to kind of push. But like, essentially, like I could
pressure it.
Yeah, like. You could, I don't know, assault me or whatever. And like,
if I did.
Thank you. I super appreciate it. And I mean, it's kind of like up to the DA on like if they want to actually try this case and like take it to court.
And so, also, I think the DA, they are very like they want to take a case that they're more
they're
convinced
win.
That they can win.
Yeah.
And because he's not like he's truly
and
just
there's no
going around everywhere.
I mean,
everywhere,
rape cases are like so hard to prosecute and try. Like anyway,
there's
I feel
no
like on top
evidence.
Of all this, the DA was like, "Nah, I'm good," but you can still, like, anytime I think, take someone to like civil court.
And that's what these women are doing.
The comparison that we haven't drawn yet, which is kind of crazy, is Bill Cosby. Because he's this person who we knew about the accusations for years, just like, I guess people knew about Bikram. Yeah. I didn't know Bikram's existence. I just knew about the yoga studios. Yeah. But like, we had been knowing about it until Hannibal Buress brought it up. Then it became a thing again. But once enough people were willing to come forward, then there was a groundswell.
Well, that's what I think they're definitely hoping is going to happen. What I feel like complicates this way more is that he's not in the country. He's obviously, unless he was a complete dumbass, which he kind of is, he probably doesn't have any plans to come back anytime soon. So then it's like, is it worth it? And you saw in the documentary how they had to like chase this man down in fucking Mexico to try to serve him with court papers. And it's like,
and at that point, he just cursed them out.
They're like basically fake papers. It's like, he's not going to go back to the U.S. when he knows he's going to get served with an arrest warrant the second he lands.
True. That's what they were saying, that they don't think he'll ever be extradited back.
No. Yeah.
I think it's also strange that the judgment is only against him personally and not the company. Because clearly whatever the corporation is that Bikram operates under is still going.
He probably has a lot of control. Well,
I guess the wrongful termination suit was probably against whatever company he has.
Why can't
she
collect against the company? Sarah, you're a lawyer. Explain yourself.
I know, I'm a lawyer.
Somebody thinks that the money's hidden. Somebody thinks that he's hidden.
He got that sham divorce.
And he filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like theoretically she should be able to collect from someone.
Give her like 8 Rolls Royces and call it a day.
No, because that's what happened, because he was saying, he's like, I have no money. I don't know what you guys want to take from me. And then they were finding all this things that he's buying, these cars for his kid, his wife. And they're like, well, who are these? And he's making up. He's like, oh, I don't own those. It's like, I have pleas and stuff like that. So people have to.
Oh, yeah. The state of California.
Now we have to go investigate all these things that he owns for this guy who's in a different country. I
mean, that reminds me a lot of, there's been a lot of stories lately about how the IRS is really only auditing people that it can afford to audit. So if you are rich enough for it to matter, they just can't afford to go through the proceedings. It really reminds me of that. But it
sounds like they're being really lazy about trying to get him.
Well, I know.
The state, the IRS,
because honestly,
everybody.
Like, right. It's just kind of sad. I feel like nobody knew about this stuff. Like, this wasn't something that was an open secret, I feel like, unless you're super
in the community.
I mean, Danny, you did yoga for a year. You're super in the community.
True. I know. I'm very invested. But all I know is that I'm like, I like these ASAP Ferg songs from my 7. Right. I didn't know about anything else. Yeah.
It's just that thing where you hear that he's a perv and you're kind of like, oh, I wonder if that's true. Like, you don't actually, you know, you're just like, oh, I heard he did this. But you don't actually, like, nobody knows the story until it was like presented in this way.
The footage in the yoga studios is pretty damning. Like, it really does speak to his character.
I was going to say, do any of you guys doubt that he did this?
Not for a second.
The defense of, I don't need to do this, there are women lining up all over the world, is exactly the mentality of the type of creepy man who thinks he has the right to assault other people and coerce them into sex.
And then to blame other people, to be like, oh, they just want to, it's a smear campaign. It's like,
it's always the same story.
It's never
after money somehow.
Yeah.
And it's one of those,
it's like, sir, you work at Best Buy. Still.
And it's like, never put your, like, he's not going to help you out taking his back versus anything else. You know what I mean? All these people are like, well, he taught me this practice. He believed me. I'm like, he doesn't give a shit about you.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also kind of sad when you're like so invested in this guy who literally you barely know, that you think he's your father figure, that you can't accept that he like is a serial rapist slash assaulter. Right. Like, totally. That was just so bleak.
But to me, he reminds me more of just like a rock star where you have all these people in the audience.
He thinks he's untouchable.
He does. But I'm saying, like, a lot of times if you're in a crowded stadium and everyone's cheering for this one guy up on the stage and then he speaks your name to you, it's as if God is talking to you.
Yeah, you're like people, me.
Yeah, so that's why when Sarah said he calls everybody else, you know, Mrs. Pink or whatever, and he called me Sarah. By the way, I'm not talking about our Sarah. I'm talking about Sarah.
Imagine if I was like shadily really good at yoga.
That girl was good at yoga. The Sarah was great at it.
She was bendy as hail.
But for her to be like, oh, he called me Sarah, and that really like, it had power over her, is so relatable. I totally understand how that could have happened. I also want to give her and Larissa and anybody else who was featured in this documentary that saw him naked credit for not talking about the elephant in the room, which is they have to desperately want to talk about how tiny that man's penis is.
The lack of elephant trunk in the room.
The mouse in the room. Like,
So they alluded to once when they were like, oh, he always wore this black Speedo, and I had questions as to where things were.
You can see nothing in the movie, and that's the point.
And
just like for comparison, go on Jason Derulo's Instagram, guys. Scroll back a week or two.
Oh yeah, that shit was
cancel your plans for the night.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Jason Derulo just posted
a picture in like underwear or Speedo or something, and like he has like a third leg.
I saw it on the subway, and I missed three stops.
He's packing some serious heat.
Yeah, I wound up.
Jason Derulo.
Yep. Yeah.
I wound up to like Coney Casey, Island.
Casey's
like
away. Stop looking him up on Instagram. Yeah. We're trying to do a podcast over here.
Casey's like, must remember Jason
I
Derulo.
I love looking
later.
At dicks through pants.
Well, then Bikram is not the documentary for you. Okay. There is none of that.
Guys who wear basketball shirts, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. It's great sweatpants season, guys. I know. Dicks are out for the winter.
You love to see it.
We love to see it.
Windbreakers in the wind. We can see everything. Oh, I'm just going to tell you.
Windbreakers?
Windbreaker pants, yeah. When the actual, you just say, like when the wind is on them.
Like, do you not know windbreakers?
I thought it like a windbreaker, like a little vest.
No, windbreaker pants.
Listen, Casey, nobody wears windbreaker pants. Stop shopping at Urban Outfitters.
You guys are talking about those like 90s neon tracksuits.
She's like, Glossy, a man in galoshes. I'm like, Casey, where are you?
You see windbreaker pants at the post office all the time.
Well, I know you see them.
I also don't go to the post office.
I got a lot of stuff to mail. I'm a Poshmark. Follow me. I'm selling some t-shirts.
You want to give us a Poshmark right now? What's your Poshmark?
Tech Casey Balsham.
You can buy Casey's new shit. Support the show.
Oh my God. Please, guys, I'm very moderately priced. Make me an offer. What am I? No, I'm at Case Face B. I'm at Case Face B.
Case Face B? Seriously?
Wow, consistent. Yeah.
On your Poshmark? So you guys go buy her stuff. Yeah. And then it's a win-win because you get Casey's new shit and she gets to go see Dicks in the Windbreaker.
I've got a pair of yoga pants on there now, guys, if you want to start your Burkham career.
She's like never worn. I like that you just talked for how you used to do hot yoga for a year straight. Yeah, I want your used yoga pants.
No, these aren't from those times. That was in Maui. That was almost 10 years. I'll show you a picture of the way I don't want to brag, but it was, that was the best I've ever looked in my entire life. And
you
I was
look
just
great right
sweating
now. So I don't know.
Thanks, guys. But when you see this body, I was
do we have
tan
any, like,
and yoked. Oh, fuck.
Do we have any parting thoughts on the documentary? I feel like there's so much I wanted to say, but
you know,
also,
I have a question. Yes. Would you recommend this documentary to a friend?
I actually thought it was good. Danny and Casey were like hating on it a bit.
No, I wasn't.
I thought it was pretty well paced. They kind of got to it within 10 minutes. They're like, so yoga is a cult and this guy's a rapist. And I was like, cool, I'm hooked. Say no more.
I was hooked too. I think with every documentary, the documentarian, whoever's making the film, they can only make as good a movie as the story that can be told. And it's not the wildest story that's ever happened.
No.
But I thought it had a lot of interesting parts to it. And afterwards, I was glad I watched
that's
it.
And I like the documentary too when it brings to light something I didn't know that much about and something that is, it's actively going on where I'm like, oh, this could maybe in a world like change, or there could be a call to action at the end. Not just like, here's a 9-hour thing about this girl who went missing 12 years ago and that's it. Those are interesting at some points, but I feel like there was no part of this documentary that I feel like had to be cut out. And it did leave me feeling like mad and sad. And I'm like, oh, I want, and it left me being like, I want LA to do something.
Yep, definitely.
The only thing I would say that I had a problem with is it felt a little bit, and this is so sad, I think because we watch so many documentaries and we're doing so many of these cases that like it felt a little, remember at the Madeleine McCann one when they talked about Andalise Toulon? They talked too much about, like I want, not that, it's just, it's like I wanted a little bit, I wanted the story faster so that I didn't remember how much I liked yoga. You know, like I want, like I wanted
less yoga
like,
shots.
Less. This is how good it is for everybody, and this is what it's doing. I wanted to get me to the stuff where I'm gonna get me more to the juice. I know that sounds really terrible to say, but it's like, you know, I want it.
I know, but the tell before me the after story. Picture tell of the guy the who lost a lot of weight, who was like such an asshole, and I was damn, that is a good before.
Yeah. Tell me a story, but
Watch it on Netflix, and then stay tuned for our interview with Eva Orner, the director of this documentary. So I wanted to, I guess, just start with, like, how did this story come to your attention? How did this documentary come to be?
So it's about 2 years ago, a development executive from a UK company, Pulse, saw a previous film that I'd done at the London Film Festival. And she contacted me and said she wanted to work with me and they wanted to work with me. And so she brought me a bunch of things, and one of them was an idea. It was really just, you know, do you know about this guy, Bikram? Have a read of some articles, you know, do a bit of research, see if you think there's a film here. And I knew a little about him. I knew he'd done some bad things. I spent, you know, a few days reading about him, and I was convinced very quickly that there was a film. And I think part of the reason was, you know, there had been quite a bit of coverage over the years of his, you know, wrongdoings towards women, his court case here in Los Angeles, but nothing had been put together showing his whole journey and how it got to this point. And, you know, I think people are really interested in cults, people are really interested in true crime. People are interested in yoga and health and celebrity culture. And I kind of thought, oh, there's something here. And the thing that really clinched me was the fact that he'd gotten away with it. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, this was just before Me Too came out. And I thought it would be a really interesting big story pre-Me Too. And then while we were already in production, Me Too happened. And I thought, well, this is just an ominous, dire warning about what can happen if we're not vigilant. So, you know, I think the Me Too phenomenon and movement helped make the film even more relevant today.
Definitely. And I feel like it was great, too, to expose, because with Me Too, a lot of it comes from, there were a lot of stories were from Hollywood or from kind of these, like, specific more business ventures, but then people never really think of yoga all the time like that. But when in reality, it's such a large, universal, omnipotent business that can be, even though it seems like such a light subject, can be very heavy, and you have people like what we've seen taking advantage of people.
Mm-hmm. Had you had experience in doing Bikram yoga before?
I mean, I'm from Australia originally, and I think about, I've lived in the States for the last 15 years, but about 20 years ago in Melbourne, my hometown, a friend asked if I wanted to come and do a Bikram class, and I saw a photo of him, and I just, you know, my bullshit detector was just like, it just wasn't for me, and I'm 40, you know, I work out a lot and do a lot of, and I've you know, gone in and out of doing Ashtanga and Iyengar yoga over the years, but it didn't appeal to me. That said, you know, to get into this film and the story and to meet people who would potentially be in the film, I had to go and do a bunch of classes in LA in both Bikram and generically non-Bikram hot yoga schools. And so I did a bunch of classes. And I will say, it does make you feel pretty good. I've got a lot of injuries, and my injuries do feel really great after it. So there's definitely something to it. But it's not something that I'm going to incorporate into my life in the future.
That makes sense.
It's a little tainted, yeah. And how have you feel? Because obviously we know the documentary is newly out, but how do you feel the response has been so far? And do you feel like there's kind of been a universal reply to you that you've felt from the documentary so far, from either survivors or people?
I mean, it's so interesting doing a Netflix original, you know, when it goes out on one day to 190 countries and 150 million subscribers. And it's only, it hasn't even been out for a week yet. It's only came out on, I think, like 4 or 5 days ago. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, the first couple of days it was trending on Twitter globally, which is kind of fairly gobsmacking, I think, for documentary. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is an interesting new experience. So, you know, my gauge is social media, and my young millennial friends are looking on Reddit, and the conversations seem to be endless. You know, I noticed some celebrities are starting to tweet about it. It seems to be getting a lot of attention, which is great. And what I hope is that people will stop going to Bikram studios and go to hot yoga studios not associated with him or using his name. I hope that he will be vilified around the world wherever he goes because people will recognize him because he's a fugitive. And I hope that it will inspire the DA in LA to go after him and do something. That said, the DA's office, who declined to be interviewed for the film and have refused to ever press criminal charges on a man who's allegedly raped many, many, many women over many decades, they came out with a statement saying they've never investigated him and they really don't seem to have any plans to do so. And I found that very, very disturbing and disappointing and quite shocking, to be honest.
I know. I feel like the two major shocks at the end that left me so upset was that, and then also that there was, he was teaching a retreat this year in Spain.
Yeah, he's just been doing another teacher training in Mexico City. He's hired this PR self-proclaimed guru, another guru.
Everyone's a guru now.
Out of the UK, whose clients include such distinguished celebrities as Charles Saatchi, who's a sex offender, Assange, the former president of the Ukraine, you know, and so on and so on. And he's kind of, you know, out there trying to make things a little better for Bikram, which I think is impossible. And he's saying, you know, the film, he said within the first 24 hours of the film's release, that his line was that people are flocking to Bikram studios as a result of the film. and the film hadn't even been out for 24 hours. So,
right.
if you thought Bikram was Trumpy and this guy's even, you know, schlockier Trump.
That's crazy. Don't they know? You can't even book a class that far in advance. Like,
yeah. That's so funny. I think it's desperate measures. But as I say, what I would love is, you know, Bikram travels constantly, not to America, obviously, because he's a fugitive and he'd be arrested if he arrived here because he hasn't paid his jury sentence of almost $8 million, his jury ruling in a civil trial. But, you know, if I feel like now, hopefully with the power of, you know, this big global Netflix release, people around the world will recognize him, jeer at him, and, you know, when they see him publicly. And, you know, I think it's a call to the world to make his life hell, because he's clearly not a good man.
Well, and
yeah,
because I feel like that's a important part too, because for so long he was in such a circle that me and Sarah were even saying, when you hear this type of yoga, you think like, oh, the 60s and 70s, but you're like, oh, this man is still alive and very much well, traveling around. So I feel like he's due for a court of universal public opinion to kind of bring him shame and to force him to right all of his wrongs.
I mean, that's what I like. I mean, honestly, I'd like Gavin Newsom, who's the fantastic new governor of California, to just step on Jackie Lacey, our DA's, mm-hmm. back and just say, you know, do something. This is unacceptable. And that's actually what happened with Harvey Weinstein because of Me Too and Time's Up. The DA of New York, what's his name? Cyrus Vance. This is in Ronan Farrow's new book and also the New York Times book. She said he had concrete evidence that Harvey had been, you know, abusing women for a long time and chose not to prosecute him. And we all know why. And after Me Too, Governor Cuomo was pressured by Time's Up and Me Too to put pressure on Vance Harris to open the case. And now Harvey faces, you know, a criminal trial next year. I mean, who knows how that will go? And we'll all be watching closely. But, you know, that's something that the governor here could do. The problem is that Bikram fled the country. So it's very, very hard mm-hmm. to bring him back. But, you know, I just think he's shown no remorse. He denies everything. The amount of emails and texts and social media messages I've had since the film premiere in Toronto, you know, I've received over 10 messages from people I don't know saying it happened to me too.
Wow.
And then people within the community say it's been happening for decades. So this is a serial abuser of women. And you can see from the footage, I mean, it's not a one-off. He's a very nasty character. And I think, you know, if he can't face the criminal justice system in America, he should face the public justice system around the world.
And what I thought was interesting was that even with all this evidence and these women telling their stories, there were still, I mean, we had two people on the film who like didn't really believe it, didn't want to believe mm-hmm. it. Have you like gotten any responses from that end of the spectrum?
Yeah, not a lot. And I've obviously been talking, you know, I'm close with the people who are in the film because obviously when people share their lives with me, I'm very respectful and grateful and, you know, want to shepherd them through this potentially challenging phase of a film release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they've all been getting 99% positive messages. They've told me that a lot of supporters of Bikram who have never said anything negative about him over the years have come out to them saying thank you, you know, we were wrong. There are still some diehards, I think, who always support him, but I think their numbers are just hugely diminished. And I've also had a couple of emails from people in the film who have sent me, you know, these e-blasts from a couple of Bikram yoga studios in America who announced last week that, surprise, they're changing their names to a more, you know, a non-Bikram to a generic hot yoga name. And they were laughing about, wow, what amazing timing.
Right, you're like, we are flat, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good thing too, and that's what I say to people, you know, don't go to a studio with his name on it. I mean, he's not really getting money from a franchise or anything anymore because the whole business was sort of fell apart through the court case and
okay.
he declared bankruptcy and things like that to try and not have to pay any money. But I think just having his name on any business it's an affront to women and it just has nothing to do with yoga or well-being or health. So, you know, it seems like I haven't had any personal attacks. There's a few, you know, there's always the odd, strange or humorous comment on social media, but it seems like, I think it's a pretty hard case to refute. I mean, even if you don't believe the women's stories, he says so many vile and disgusting things on audio or video that I think it's enough of a case to show that he's a pretty repugnant human being.
And you were talking about how you kind of get obviously involved with the lives of all the people in the documentary, and obviously you're no stranger to doing a lot of more documentaries on the heavier side. How do you do anything to kind of like check out to like, because you're overwhelmed with all this very dark and heavy information, like how do you handle the balance of being like, all right, this is work, I need to make sure that this is like a perfect story type and not get just like, I'm so depressed right now?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. I mean, I've done a lot of really miserable films. It's sort of my specialty.
I mean, an Emmy and an Oscar, girl. You and Nicole Kidman, you're keeping the, yeah.
But I'm actually, I think you can hear, like, I'm quite a bubbly, kind of laughy person. I think a while ago, it was probably like 8 years ago, I spent some time in Afghanistan, and it kind of tripped me up a little bit. It was quite a few months, and I started feeling quite a lot of guilt, and I think I saw some things that really shocked me, and I actually came home and did some therapy for the first time in my life, because I was having a little bit of guilt associated with, you know, my lucky life and leaving people in terrible places. So I did do some therapy, and I kind of learned some basic ways of survival, and one of the things is, you know, you can't feel that guilt. You know, you have to embrace and enjoy your life. So that was super helpful. And also I meditate. I'm a meditator. I've been doing that for a long time. And I don't know, I have a really nice boyfriend.
Well, now you're bragging to us.
He's Italian, and if I get too morose, he calls me Piccola, little one, and he'll just say, Piccola, snap out of it. So he's quite good. But I think it's really tricky. It's a really tough question. I think, and I have a lot of friends who have been, you know, foreign correspondents in war zones for a long time. And, you know, you see people develop PTSD and people struggle, and you really have to make an effort to, I don't know, to not let it wear you down. Mm-hmm. And I think there's maybe a point too where you have to sort of walk away and maybe do something lighter.
And that makes, so you like, it's nice to have a little work-life balance for yourself, even if it becomes your life for too long. And also sort of with...
And also I'm sort of at the tail end now of, you know, 2 years with Bikram, and I have a very big bunch of dried sage ready to burn to sort of sage out the house so that, you know, to get rid of any icky remainders of
this floating around
without being too crystal.
And what sort of, because you said you've obviously been drawn to documentaries for so long, do you know what inspired you to get into documentaries in the first place? Because obviously there's so many ventures of going into film as you can. What sort of just like at the beginning of your career inspired you to be like, this is what I want to be doing?
Yeah, no, you guys are good. That's a good question too.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever knew until a journalist actually asked me, you know, a few films ago, and I suddenly thought, oh, I think I do know. And it's actually, you know, my family's story and my background. So I'm Australian, and I was born into this fantastic life in Australia, but my parents were born in 1937 in Poland, Jewish, which is pretty much the worst.
Yes, literally.
Boy, talk about a different way to be born. You know, I'm born into sunny Australia as a free person. So my parents were born essentially, you know, 2 years before the Holocaust, and they were Jewish in Poland. And three of my four grandparents were killed in the Holocaust, and all of my extended family. So I have a really tiny family. And my parents survived as babies and children through the Holocaust, which was sort of a miracle, and because of the kindness of others. And so I think, you know, growing up, I think from a young age, I knew that bad things happen to good people. You know, my parents were from somewhere else and had a strong accent. I didn't have aunts and uncles and grandparents. And, I think I was trained from a young age. I don't know. I just wanted to represent the underdog. I wanted to do something that made a difference, and somehow it turned into this. I think it was probably going to be journalism or making documentaries, and I think I'd probably do a combination of both.
It's awesome.
I love it. And do you know, because obviously you have to still, this one just came out this week, but are there any, or like either from along the way of this or just in general, are there any stories that you've been inspired by lately that you want to dig into? Like, are you someone that you take some time off? I know you said that you have some recharge time, but are you already thinking of what's the next story or thing you have to...
I'm already on a couple of things.
Oh, gosh, that's awesome.
Which is super exciting. And the Bomboys documentary, dude, whenever people ask you, you kind of can't talk about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of them, a story that's unfolding and that's very investigative, and two of them are historical, actually, that have happened but have a great relevance on today. And it's interesting because what I love the most, in a way, is the discovery period when you start digging into a project and you start talking to people for the first time and trying to work out what the story is and the characters. I'm super nerdy, I think, so I love that part of the film. And also because when you finish a film like Bikram, you know, I've been on it for 2 years, so as much as I feel the importance of that film and I'm proud of it and want people to watch it and want to keep engaging with people, you know, you're sort of ready to start digging into something new. So I'm sort of doing both at the minute. I'm shepherding Bikram into the world and then, you know, when I'm not talking to people like you, I'm nerding out and starting to plot together my next project.
Oh, I love that.
But I am going to go home to Australia for a month over Christmas and have
a
good old holiday.
Nice.
Get that Italian boyfriend to make you some good pasta.
And lie on some beaches and get some sun and see my family. So I sort of realized, I didn't even realize it was like almost December. I thought it was August or something.
I know.
Yeah. I suddenly thought, I need a holiday.
you definitely deserve it.
Oh, yeah.
And just overarching, do you have a documentary that either you made or you didn't make that you're like, oh, this one is good? Or was there one that has come out recently like, oh, I love what they're doing type of thing?
A recent documentary that I love?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of completely in love with Honeyland. I don't know if you've seen it. Have you guys seen it?
I haven't, no.
It doesn't sound riveting, but honestly, from the opening scene, it's an Oscar contender for this year.
Ooh.
But from the opening scene, I was like, oh my God, this is stunning. It's about a Macedonian beekeeper. And I cannot tell you how gorgeous this film is. Another film that I love is called Fosama, which is another film out this year, and it's about this woman who's in the film, and she's a filmmaker. She's in the film, and her and her husband and child are living through 5 years of the siege in Aleppo in Syria, and it's stunning as well.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they're both really strong films.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think those are like... That's all our questions.
Yeah.
We really loved the documentary. Yeah, thank you so much.
Such an important story.
We didn't even know about this, so we're like so glad that someone brought this story to light for us.
And that's really interesting because I think there was some assumption that a lot of people knew the story, but I'm continually pleased to hear that, you know, some people know all of it, some people know a little, and some people know nothing. And that's what's so great because, you know, I don't know. It seems like it's capturing people's attention.
Definitely.
Yeah. And what we like too is we also felt like there is kind of something that we can do at the end of it. Like, you know, you can call officials in like
LA,
California. Like you can try to do petitions. Like that's kind of.
And spread awareness about this. Yeah.
I think the three things are to stop going to Bikram Studios, you know, go to hot yoga studios, not Bikram Studios. I think the second thing is to call or email Jackie Lacey, the DA of Los Angeles's office, and demand that they investigate Bikram. And I guess the other thing is, you know, if you see him out in the world, have a go at him.
I'll go to the next teacher training just to be like, hey.
We'll be at the airport bar in Spain.
He travels a lot, and I feel like, you know, people see him in the airport and make his life hell. I think that would have an impact on him.
Oh, my God, yes.
And now this documentary is in every country in the world, so he's,
his face is out there
His face is out there, yes. Oh, but thank you so much, too, for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Well, that was enlightening.
I know. I like her, and I want to now Google her boyfriend immediately.
Oh, same. I bet he is beautiful.
I know.
Because all Italians are beautiful. Yeah. But thank you all for listening to this interview, for listening to the episode. Thank you to Sean for coming on and giving your thoughts.
Giving some enlightenment about tiny penises and elephants.
And follow us on Instagram, NATCpod. Join the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime Group. Answer the questions or I'm gonna not approve you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
it's simple,
those are the rules.
Come on.
And stay tuned.
Betches.